This is Shamir Young, bringing you the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast. Listen in as award-winning photographers discuss how they find opportunities, market their talent, and overcome mistakes to become respected, ever-advancing professional creatives. You'll also hear about their hard-learned lessons, as well as tips for making awesome images. You ready to take your photography business to the next level? Let's do it. Hey everybody, this is Shamir Young. Welcome to this solo episode where I talk about some of the main points from the previous episode in which I interviewed, in this case, this time around, it was Jamie Larson. How inspiring was it talking to her? Now I want to get right into the meat and potatoes of this episode because I want to talk about two things. First, I want to talk about how we tend to get caught up in the comparison game with other more successful photographers and why that's not good for ourselves or our businesses. And then number two, I'm going to talk about how we are not always our ideal client. So let's get to my first main point. Don't get caught up in the comparison game. I know as photographers, whether you're first starting out or whether you've been in the game for years, it's easy to look at other more successful photographers and think, man, why am I not like them? Or why am I not making as much money as them? Why am I not as successful as them? Why are they light years ahead of me? I believe that this only serves in defeating yourself. It can put you into a pit of despair. It can be very discouraging when you're looking at other photographers and beating yourself up for not being like them. Now, of course, you should always be pushing yourself to be better as a photographer, and that does involve looking at other work that inspires you and getting inspired and motivated by what others are doing. But I believe that when you are comparing yourself and then putting yourself down, that is unhealthy behavior. Now, when you're looking at a photographer that seems to be light years ahead of you, keep in mind that they started on square one. Just like you, we all start in the same place, trying to polish our skills and be as effective as possible as photographers and also as business people when we're trying to make a living off of it. It's a journey for all of us. When you look at a super successful photographer, you're not seeing the blood, sweat, and tears that they went through. You're not seeing the tough times that they had to endure in order to get where they're at this point. You're not seeing the thousands of hours of hard work that they endured, that they went through to be considered successful and awesome at their craft. And really, it's not fair to yourself either to put yourself down when you're looking at another photographer. For example, let's say you're looking at a photographer who's been in the game, who's been running their business 20 years longer than you have. Now, how is it fair to compare yourself, if you've only been doing it for the sake of example, let's say 1 or 2 years, to look at where they're at 20 years ahead of you, and then you put yourself down for that? How is that fair to you? It's not. It's not even realistic to think that you could be at the same level as a photographer who has decades of experience on you, or even 10 years, even 5 years. That all makes a difference. And so keep in mind that when you compare yourself to another photographer, especially one where there's a large gap as far as how many years they've been doing it, how successful they're considered, it's not comparing apples to apples, really. It's not, because there are so many other factors that go into it. They've been doing it more years than you. They've learned through trial and error, through study and education. Now, just like you, but they're way ahead of you in time. And so keep that in mind. It's important to celebrate how far you have come as a photographer yourself, and it's also good to look forward to where you want to be. Again, looking at other photographers for inspiration, looking at their work, looking at how they run their businesses, their business models, that's fine as long as you're drawing inspiration from it and even being excited for where you can be. But when you start putting yourself down for that, it's unhealthy. So really try to be kind to yourself, try to be aware of this. I know it's really easy to fall into this. I mean, I still have to check myself on a daily basis and make sure that I'm not doing this, because when I'm looking on Facebook, for example, and I see this other photographer who's just killing it, and I'm like, oh man, why can't I be like them? I have to check myself and go, hold on, Shamira, now hold on. they've been in it longer than you, or maybe they've put in more hours than I have. And while it's good to look at their work and go, wow, that's great, I have to remind myself not to tear myself down for being not as far as they are. And so I just really want you to be aware of this, especially with social media. It's so easy, Facebook, Instagram, to look at others and their lives in general and wonder why we're not like them. No, just be encouraged by where you are and remember that your only competition really is you and where you were yesterday and last week. And so always seek to be improving and really just getting excited by that process. Hey, photographers, I want to pause and take a quick second to tell you about the New York Institute of Photography at nyip.edu. It's an online school for students who want to learn photography from the comfort of their own home on their own time. Not only is the New York Institute of Photography the world's largest online photography school, but they've been in business for over 100 years. Yes, you heard that right, 100 years. Originally established in 1910, they got their start as a brick-and-mortar school. Fast forward to today, and the New York Institute of Photography is now an online school where you can study anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Every student gets a personal pro photographer mentor who will review your photos and help you improve. You can choose from 9 online courses based on your skill level and area of interest. They have courses on digital photography fundamentals, wedding photography, travel photography, photojournalism, marketing, and more. To view the free course catalog and daily specials, check out the New York Institute of Photography at www.nyip.edu. Again, that's www.nyip.edu. Okay, next, I want to talk about how we are not always our ideal client. I think when a lot of us, and this is certainly the case with me, when we first start our photography businesses, we start looking for other clients that we think like us, as far as other clients that would spend the amount of money that we would spend on a photo shoot. And I really want to urge you not to assume this. Especially a lot of us, we're just starting out. Let's say we don't have a lot of money in the first place, you know, especially we're just trying to start our photography businesses. And so unthinkingly, we start looking for clients that we assume would be in the same financial situation as we are, and we kind of seek those people out without giving it much thought. I would urge you to put thought into who you want your ideal client to be, and then how much disposable income they have. You know, don't automatically price yourself as the cheapest photographer around, because I believe that is a race to the bottom. I believe if you want to aim for a higher paid demographic, that is totally fine. If you want to reach that premium market, that's cool. If you want to reach the middle market or the middle high market, that's fine as well. I'm just saying, put thought into who you want your audience to be, rather than just automatically going for the cheapest person or the person that may be in your financial situation. For example, photographer Jeffrey Shaw, which I've had him on the podcast, he said that he wanted to go for a premium market and that this market was a market that he was not in. When he first started his business, he did not have a ton of money, and even the part of town he lived in was not the nicest, ritzy part of town. But he specifically said when he started his photography business, he wanted to reach that market, that higher demographic, the people who have more disposable income. And so what did he do? He studied his target audience. He actually went to where they were. He would walk through the stores that they liked to shop at. He would eat at the restaurants that they ate at in order to get into that particular mindset. And then he began targeting them in his marketing specifically, and he also priced his services as premium services, even though, again, he did not live a premium lifestyle, you know, a ritzy lifestyle himself. He put forethought into who he was going to target for his photography business. And so I urge you to do this. It does not have to be the premium market. I'm just saying, give it some thought. Really sit down and nail down who you think your target audience should be. This is called creating your avatar, deciding who your avatar is, really focusing in on the people where they shop, what they eat, even the language, the type of words that they use, and what they hold valuable. Back to the example with Jeffrey Shaw, he's a portrait photographer, and he knows through discussions and really studying his market that one of their main values is family. They really value family. And so Jeffrey creates these premium portraits, and I mean, they're wonderful, they're huge. A lot of them are larger in size. The materials that he uses are not cheap, but he knows that he's creating this timeless family portrait that they can have for generations. And then he charges a premium price. And because this is in line with his target market's values of prizing family, that it floats their boat, for lack of a better term. It's exactly what they're looking for. They want something nice. They don't want something cheap. They want something that they can hang on a wall and have it sit next to a painting and be on the same level as that painting. They want something that they can keep in the family for generations. And so Jeffrey is just awesome at identifying the needs and the values of his target market and really aligning himself with them. And so I really urge you to do that for yourself. I'm in the process of doing that for my own photography business. I've mentioned previously that I've just moved to a new town, and so I'm really retargeting and refocusing on who I want my target audience to be and putting thought into things like what they find valuable. Right now I'm focusing on businesses, and so I'm studying what businesses in the Port Huron, Michigan area really find valuable. And what I'm finding is that here in Port Huron, it's actually a smaller town feel. And people are, they really bond through face-to-face communication and this cool type of small town business. So it's really interesting. And I urge you to do that for your area and your target market as well. So just research your ideal client, your target market. Whew, okay, I felt like I was talking really fast on this one for some reason. That is the end of this episode. Just a quick recap. I talked about not getting caught up in the comparison game and how that can be unhealthy, and that really you should be looking to other photographers for inspiration, yes, but also really you should be competing against yourself and trying to improve day by day, week by week, month by month. Then I also talked about how we are not always our ideal client and how we shouldn't automatically assume that our clients are in the same financial situation as we are. That you shouldn't automatically price yourself as the cheapest photographer, because that is a race to the bottom, and how you should put forethought and do a ton of research as far as identifying who your ideal client is. All right, thanks guys for listening. Guys and ladies, I should say, ladies and gentlemen, go out and make your photography businesses awesome.